The best seat in the theater? That's the one easiest to get out of. Time to call Joint Relief Institute. Fast, FDA approved, and covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000.
Welcome to the Stadium Club, a WGN Radio deep dive into the homes and future homes of Chicago sports teams.
Mayor Tom McDermott tells Inside Indiana Business that he does not expect a stadium agreement to be finalized until the Bears complete their survey on the site they're considering. Indiana Governor Mike Braun also shared his thoughts during a press conference in Hammond today.
When we get this across the finish line, we're in the due diligence stage. It's going to be one of the biggest things that's ever occurred to our state, not to mention the region. So we're doing everything you need to do to make sure we get it done.
That due diligence includes environmental testing to see if the ground could support a stadium.
Governor Pritzker says the Bears did not give him a heads up before the team leadership spoke today. He says he wants to see the Bears stay in Illinois as long as it doesn't negatively impact residents.
But it is on them, just as it is for on any organization, a business or otherwise, that wants help from the state of Illinois. To come to us and tell us exactly what it is, now that they know what parameters are acceptable to the legislature, how they want that bill to look.
Now, here's your host, WGN's Ryan Burrow.
Chicago Bears president and CEO Kevin Warren and chairman George McCaskey spoke with the media Thursday from Hallis Hall ahead of an upcoming preseason game and addressed where the stadium plans currently stand. In June, the team board said it was focused solely on a location in Hammond, Indiana, despite the team previously saying it was focused on land it purchased in Arlington Heights, as well as a possible development in Chicago. Here are both Warren and McCaskey's press conferences in full.
Good afternoon. It really is good to see everyone here today. Thanks for taking the time to come out to Hallis Hall. My goal is today is to spend some brief opening remarks just from a football operations standpoint, business operations standpoint, and then obviously stadium update. So thanks for taking the time. First and foremost, I just want to thank our operations staff here at Hallis Hall for helping us to get organized for training camp. Training camp sets the tone for the season, and they've done an outstanding job of making sure that this is a great place for us to spend time during training camp. I also want to take a moment to acknowledge the individuals in Chicago and Chicagoland area, and also in Northwest Indiana and in Hammond, who have been impacted by these horrible storms this week. There are a lot of families and individuals who are struggling right now. So we want to let them know that our thoughts and prayers are with them right now. And just want to thank the fans. We have absolutely the best fans in all of sports. The best, the best, the best. We love our fans. And then I just want to take a moment is just to say how grateful I am to work with the McCaskey family, especially George McCaskey, for providing us with the resources, the infrastructure here to build a world-class franchise. So, George, thank you, and Pat, thank you and your entire family for doing that. From a football operations standpoint, Coach Johnson and Ryan Poles have built a really unique relationship. They work well together. They have a great partnership. They respect each other. They've hired great staff members. Their staff members have worked well together, and it is just outstanding to see a general manager and a head coach in the National Football League who are young, who are vibrant, who are aggressive, and who've built an incredible relationship together. And we have assembled a team that's going to be fast, aggressive, hardworking, competitive, and just relentless. And so we want to thank Ryan and Coach for building this roster. We can win this year. We can win for many years to come. We can win big, and our focus here is to make sure that we create a football operations department that has that sustainable success across the NFL. And we're in good hands with Coach Johnson and in Ryan Poles. And Darnell Wright is a prime example of that, a young player who was drafted here into the system, who's evolved, who's grown. He turned 25 years old earlier this week. And it shows the vision and the foresight for us to be able to sign him to an extension, not have a protracted holdout. And those are things that we want to do. And that's where we appreciate the McCaskey family also for providing us the resources and the infrastructure to be able to do that. From a business operation standpoint, we're really building a unique partnership between our business side and our football side, which really can create that longevity of sustainability across the National Football League. We're excited that we've expanded our partnership portfolio during the last few months. I mean, we have Grainger, who's our media backdrop partner, EA Sports, Culligan Water, Advocate Healthcare, Keurig Dr. Pepper, USAA, Shell, and Lexus, to name a few. These are the type of partners that we want to build long-term relationships with, and we're grateful for their relationship. We've had record revenue at the Chicago Bears this last year. Our season ticket holder renewal rate was at 99%. We have low suite inventory, and you'll see when you go to Soldier Field this weekend that we have some new inventory on the south lawn of Soldier Field of some RVs where fans will be able to rent those on game day. And regarding the stadium development project, as you know, on June 5th of 2026, we as a Chicago Bears board voted to focus our attention on advancing our stadium project in Hammond, Indiana. We've done that. We've been working diligently to complete all of the topographical studies, the geographical studies, environmental studies, in addition to assembling the land that's needed to build a world-class stadium project and also mixed-use develop, and also working on the financing and the capital stack that's required to bring this project to life. The representatives from the state of Indiana, all the way from the governor's office to representatives in Northwest Indiana, have been phenomenal partners. They've been stellar to work with, very professional, diligent, with a can-do attitude. To be clear, the due diligence at the Lost Marsh site that we've talked to you about before is completed, and the due diligence is ongoing at the Wolf Lake Terminal site. That's the new site that we've been able to find. While we were working on the Lost Marsh site, we discovered a potentially new site that could even be as good or better than the Lost Marsh site. So we're in the middle of that due diligence. It's a lot of work that happens on a daily basis. We are in regular, almost daily communication with the state of Indiana working on this. We have an excellent deal, a win-win partnership together. And because of the significance of this decision from a stadium standpoint, we will make sure that we take our time to get this right. Because not only are we building a world-class stadium, but we're building a world-class mixed-use development, and we want to make sure that we get this right. We have had occasional meetings with the state of Illinois, and also we're just grateful that the NFL has been very helpful to us, especially Commissioner Goodell. But even though we've had occasional meetings with the state of Illinois, our sole focus at this point in time is working on a world-class stadium and mixed-use development in Hammond, Indiana. I'll pause there and take any questions.
Just to clarify on the two sites you just mentioned in Indiana. Yes. The due diligence you did on Lost Marsh,
yes.
Did that come back as a viable site? So it's not a pivot to the other site, it's just looking at an additional one, or would they be together used?
Yes, I'm glad that you asked that question. It's a great question. Yes, it's not a pivot for anything that's an issue with the Lost Marsh site. That is a viable site. We could build there. It works. But as we studied that site, and we are working very hard to make sure that we build holistic environment in Hammond, is that when we looked at the Lost Marsh site and then were able to discover the opportunity at the Wolf Lake Terminal site, we thought if we could cohesively bring those together and just make sure that entire area comes together from a mixed-use standpoint, it would even be better. So Lost Marsh site works. I'm glad you asked that question, but that's where it has come from.
Kevin, J.B. Prisker said today that he's had discussions, or the state's had discussions, about what you guys might want, but there's been nothing in writing. Mm-hmm. Do you plan on putting something in writing soon? And second, I mean, can you rule out the state of Illinois at this point?
I mean, I guess Governor Pritzker is correct. There is nothing in writing. We don't have an offer from the state of Illinois. And our focus now is on Indiana. And obviously, like I said, there have been occasional meetings that have taken place. And but right now, our focus is on Hammond, Indiana, to make sure that we bring that to life.
When do you expect a decision about which state you're going to put the stadium in?
Well, I mean, this has to. We're at the point right now that because we do have one viable site in Hammond, Indiana, and we expect here to have another viable site, and maybe to be able to merge those sites together, and then we'll continually proceed forward. So it's reached that point now where we are starting to get some clarity. In the moment that we finish our due diligence and have the appropriate capital stack and financing together, we are looking forward to making a decision so we can break ground and get our project going forward.
I think that this would take 5 years.
You know, my expectations, especially on these development projects, I've been there before. They take time. And so I'm not at all, you know, disappointed in it. They take time. I think the biggest thing for our fans, we have to get this right. I mean, this is a 40 to 50 year decision. And we have to pull all these things together. So I'm looking forward to bringing it to close from a legislative standpoint, so we can get on to the construction.
Kevin, what mistakes do you guys think you've made along the way, and maybe not understanding maybe the political process or getting stuff wrong with the state of Illinois?
You know, thanks for that question. I don't think we've made any mistakes. As you study these projects, I really look at these as learning opportunities to come together. They are complex. I mean, the Chicago Bears, we haven't had our own stadium in 107 years of Chicago Bears football. You look what's going on around the league, from Kansas City to Cleveland to Washington, the various locations. These projects are complicated. They're expensive. They're challenging. They require political willpower. They're financially. You got to lean into that from that standpoint. So I don't look at we've made any mistakes. We've made the necessary steps at that appropriate time to be where we are today. And it's good to be in a position that we'll be able to bring this to some closure.
Kevin, since the board vote in June, how do you characterize the meetings with Illinois lawmakers and what those have been about?
I mean, they've been minimal. So I wouldn't have any characterization as far as how we would characterize those.
What is your sense for why the Arlington Heights project hit a dead end in Springfield?
Well, I mean, I don't know why it hit a dead end in Springfield, but we've been very clear for the last couple of years. The things that we've always needed is property tax certainty. We need infrastructure certainty. That's what we've needed. So that has not changed. There's some other things associated with it. So I don't know why Springfield, as far as what you said, is why it hit a snag. But, you know, one of the good things about what we've had is since we did have the board decision, we have really focused on Indiana. That's where our time and energy and effort has been spent. And we've had extremely productive meetings there and feel really good what's going on with the state of Indiana, specifically in Hammond, Indiana.
And since your focus has been on Indiana the last few months,
when yes.
You say there has been meetings with Illinois, are you still representing the Bears in those meetings with Illinois?
Yes. I mean, not all of them. I mean, that's why we've had to be able to break up and do different things. So we're always there, I mean, from in one way or another, but I have not been in all of the meetings with the state of Illinois.
Governor Pritzker said this morning that he's committed to getting a deal done in Illinois, whether it's in Chicago or in Arlington Heights. Does that mean Chicago is back on the table?
You'd have to ask him that. I can't answer that question. Our focus, again, at this point in time is in Hammond, Indiana, and we're doing everything that we possibly can. We don't have any legislation in Illinois. We don't have a deal with Illinois, and so it wouldn't be fair for me to answer a hypothetical question like that.
Are you comfortable waiting until the veto session to potentially explore some action in Illinois?
I think it's prudent for us to move with pace based upon where we are. These costs have gone up. We've talked about it before at, you know, almost $150 million a year. We just looked at the financial numbers last week, and you compare to where it was last year. These are real issues. You notice the market is very uncertain. And so it's not only the political and the legislative decisions that we have to make. It's the financial decisions that we have to make. And we have a family who's committed sizable resources, $2 billion out of their personal money, out of the organization to build this stadium. And so that's why it's really important from a time standpoint where we're reaching that point where we have to make a determination and decision. The longer this goes on, it creates complications just from a building operation design standpoint.
You mentioned the learning opportunities.
Yes.
What did you learn navigating Springfield?
I think not only Springfield, but just generally speaking, you have to learn how to, you have to have options. You have to be organized, to be diligent. You have to be patient. And the worst thing you can do in these stadium projects is to make a determination that you look back and say, boy, if we had taken a little more time or worked on this or explored that, because there's not really a do-over once you break ground. And so I think the learnings is that these projects are complex. That's why teams do it every 30 to 40 to 50 years. It's not something you do on a regular basis. So I think it's been incredibly powerful learnings, and we're skilled. We're in a position to make really good decisions, and we'll continually focus and go forward.
Last two, Chris and Jason.
Kevin, there's a lot of fans who are really disappointed about the idea of this team moving to Indiana. What's your message to them as to why you see this as a viable option?
I mean, I agree. I understand how a fan could be upset, but I think what's important to recognize, this is important for the fans, is for us to build a world-class stadium. It's time. The time has come for us to do it. They deserve a much better game day experience than we have now. They deserve the opportunity for us to be able to bring world-class events here, from the Super Bowl that we'd have a chance to bid for, or to World Cup, to concerts, to college football playoff games, to other professional sports. And so our focus is on the fans, and it's important that we build a world-class stadium that has a mixed-use development with restaurants and hotels to have that special game day experience with smooth ingress and egress. And so the focus every single day, every meeting we're in, we're focusing on the importance of building this relationship with the fans. But I can understand frustration. And hopefully when we finish the stadium and open up and they get a chance to experience, that they'll be grateful for what we have done.
Kevin, what's your target right now for breaking ground and opening the new stadium?
My wife told me about 6 months ago, don't give any more target dates. So just get the work done. So, Greta, I love you, and I'm listening to you. And so I think the target is the right time. We'll know when it is. But I will say we're making very, very good progress here. And we have one site that works, Lost Marsh. And then to have another site is really unique. And we think if that comes together, that we will have an absolutely dynamic atmosphere in Hammond, Indiana, not only from a stadium, from a mixed-use development, from a game day stadium development overall. And so I'm looking forward to this opportunity. I'm grateful to have been able to kind of work on this, and it'll be an exciting day when it comes to fruition. But time is now, and it's time to bring this to a close, and I'm grateful of where we are, and I think everyone will be pleased, one, once we make a final decision, and two, once we break ground, and three, once we open up and to be able to enjoy it. The Chicago Bears fans deserve a new environment.
Awesome. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Thank you for being here. I want to start by echoing Kevin's comments that our hearts go out to all of these people that have been impacted by these devastating storms south of Chicago and in northwest Indiana. Got thousands of people without power and enduring some real hardship, and we're thinking about them and wishing the best for them. Kevin also mentioned the fans, and I want to thank and salute our fans. They've been a tremendous presence at training camp practices, a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of energy, a lot of excitement, a lot of anticipation. We're very grateful for their dedication and their loyalty. It's very difficult, as we did today, to have to again close practice because of these weather conditions. I feel terrible for all the people that were looking forward to this experience and won't be able to have that experience. So we wish them the best, and we thank them. And also want to thank our staff that worked so hard to make these people feel welcome at the Hallis Hall campus, and in particular, Megan Clancy, Emily Rooney, Lee Twarling, and Michelle Burke McCaskey, and their staffs for going out of their way in some hot and humid conditions that you've experienced yourself to make our fans feel at home here at Hallis Hall. Very grateful for that. Also want to thank Kevin for all of his efforts. I've heard many times that the Bears hired Kevin to build a stadium, and that's not accurate. We hired him for so many other reasons. His vision, his leadership, his consensus building, his ability to make difficult decisions in difficult times, his ability to see around corners, and all of the other many traits that he brings to this position. And he's done an outstanding job for us. The fact that he has previous stadium experience was viewed by us as a plus. And Kevin has reminded me more than once that it took the Vikings 11 years to get a stadium done in Minnesota. And I've reminded Kevin just as often, we don't have that kind of time. And since Kevin has exhaustively answered, again, all of your stadium questions, be happy to entertain any non-stadium questions that you have. And Cheryl, somebody's reminded me more than once that you have more seniority than Hub. So why don't you start us off if you have a question.
George, when you look at this plan for the stadium, is there any concerns about Chicago not being part? They will be Chicago Bears, they'd be the Hammond Bears.
No, we will be the Chicago Bears, whether we're in Arlington or whether we're in Hammond. And as Kevin said, our focus is on Hammond. That's where we're advancing our efforts, and that's where the bulk of our time, attention, and resources are being devoted.
George, you've owned that.
Since it was first broached in the letter in December, the idea of moving to Northwest Indiana has been a source of anxiety and stress to at least Bears fans that I know. Do you understand their point of view there, that even though Indiana is close to downtown, it means something significant to them to leave the state?
Yeah, we feel that anxiety. We feel that stress. We talked about this in March. It's going to require an adjustment. But when I've driven that route, other than a sign telling me so, I wouldn't know that I've just crossed the state border. And as Kevin said, once people see the building, once they get in there, once they understand that our top priority from day one was a world-class stadium experience, we think we'll make that adjustment. We think Bears fans are up for that.
George, what Kevin mentioned the league and all this, the NFL, and you're obviously in close communication with the league all the time, your family. What feedback have you heard from Roger Goodell or the league on the idea of the Bears moving to Indiana, and are they fully on board with it?
Well, we had two reports to our stadium committee, of which I happen to be a member. And they've identified two viable sites, Arlington and Hammond. We've spoken to the commissioner often. He visited the Lost Marsh site himself. We think that ultimately they will become comfortable. This has happened with other teams in other markets, most recently Kansas City Chiefs. Tremendous legacy at Arrowhead Stadium. They won a lot of games there, a lot of exciting moments. And this is a move across the state line, which I'm sure the Hunt family and Clark Hunt are confident Chiefs fans will be able to make the adjustment. We see many parallels there.
I'm curious how you feel about the idea of Bear weather going away if you indeed get an enclosed stadium completed.
I heard a lot about Bear weather back in January, you know. This team from Southern California is going to come in here, and we're going to expose them to bear weather, and they wound up with the W. So it's fun to think about snow flurries and braving the elements. I was out there myself. But to host the number of events that we could host in a fixed-roof stadium, to be able to attract these major events, which all along Chicagoland has lost out on, we think that will more than offset the advantages of bear weather.
What about the two sites
being in Southwest Indiana? How soon might you
all pivot and start to reimagine what you're going to do with the land out in Arlington?
We haven't really gotten that far. Like we said, our focus is so much on Hammond that what to do with the Arlington Park property, that'll take care of itself in time.
George, how would you describe the discussions with Illinois legislators since the board voted for Indiana Jim?
Minimal.
George, we haven't actually heard from you since those events played out at the end of May down in Springfield. What transpired? What can you share about whether it was disappointment from not getting the legislation you need through those days until the board actually voted to fully pivot towards Indiana? Well, like, what were those discussions like internally to get everybody fully on board?
Well, we were waiting to see whether there would be some substantive action taken. We thought we had presented a pretty compelling case that a stadium in Arlington would be beneficial not only for the village of Arlington Heights, but for the community and for the entire state, really. Tremendous driver of economic activity, job creation, tax revenue, sales revenue. Ultimately, that argument was unsuccessful.
George, what is your understanding of the tax dynamics in the state of Indiana for those residents that would have to crystallize for this project to become a goal for you guys across the border?
So there's enabling state legislation, and that includes some local taxes in, I believe, Lake County and Porter County.
You George, expect that revenue to be generated fully to get your project off the ground?
Yes.
George, I know the focus is Indiana, but are you hopeful that Illinois comes up with some sort of plan for you guys, whether it's in October or the summer, and Arlington does become the focus again? Are you hopeful that Arlington is the property where you guys built?
Well, somebody mentioned the commissioner. He has said to us many times in league meetings, hope is not a strategy. We have to deal with the here and now. We have to deal with real circumstances, and these are the real circumstances.
Are you second-guessing some of the strategy of the last few years to gain inroads in Illinois?
I don't think so. I think, as Kevin said, you learn from every experience. And as Kevin knows well, and I'm sure you've seen it happen in other markets, these are very challenging issues, financial, tax, logistical, political, traffic, environmental. And they all come together. And in the end, there needs to be a political will to accomplish something.
You guys have mentioned multiple times the obvious that the costs are rising with every given day. It's been a little unclear, though, where that extra money will come from. Have you guys discussed that maybe, is the McCaskey family prepared to eventually have to kick in more money than you guys have already committed?
Well, we said before, excuse me, our part of the financing is going to be primarily debt. So that is a constant concern. Anybody who's ever built a house, the longer it takes, the more expensive it is. Construction inflation is a very real concern for us.
George, when you think back to 4 years ago when you spoke at Hersey High School about the Arlington Heights plan and kind of see where you guys are now with the pivot to Chicago in the middle there and have to keep kind of putting your focus on a new site, how do you kind of put in perspective where you come from then? Is it difficult for you to say, we are so excited about Arlington Heights, and then say, we are so excited about Museum Campus, and then say, we are so excited about Northwest Indiana?
Yeah, that seems like a long time ago. I guess it was, at least 4 years. And that's how long we've been working on this project, trying to convince people that this is a project that could benefit a lot of people. You have to be malleable. You have to be adjustable. You have to be flexible.
George, you and Kevin have both used the word minimal when talking about how often you've spoken with Illinois legislators. Are you waiting for them to come to you, for lack of a better word?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, we're all adults here. We can have constructive conversations, and I don't think it has to be, you know, who calls who first. I mean, if there are substantive discussions to be had, let's have them. In Indiana, they've been very proactive, very communicative, very solution-oriented.
last two hummed in here.
George, it's pretty obvious. I know it's not up to you. It's between you and the state of Illinois and the state of Michigan. Bears fans are less...
You had a Freudian slip there, Hub, when you mentioned Michigan.
Oh, connected to Michigan. Indiana, I'm sorry. It's pretty obvious, though, that the majority of Bears fans are not going to be particularly happy if the team leaves Illinois and goes to Indiana.
And this is based on your...
I've done a lot of
stringent
work.
Surveying methods.
I'm asking you the question.
Okay.
According to my research, what research have you guys done on how your fans are going to feel about this? Because it seems obvious that there's going to be more negativity than positivity if you leave the state.
Yeah, I don't mean to make light of it. I'm just questioning the premise of your question, how you could claim to speak for a majority of Bears fans. But, yeah, we understand that that's out there. And it needs to be dealt with. We are doing surveying, research, data collection to address those issues. And as I said months ago, this is going to require an adjustment. But it required an adjustment when we went from Wrigley to Soldier. It required an adjustment when we went from Soldier to Champaign temporarily. And it required an adjustment when we came back to the quote-unquote new Soldier Field. That's how it works over the course of 100 years plus of franchise stewardship.
George, just to follow up on your answer to Herb's question about property in Arlington Heights, you guys have not had discussions about contingency plans for a 326-acre, $200 million property if you indeed moved to Indiana?
Nothing substantive, no. Just haven't gotten to that.
Thank you.
All right, thank you all.
Illinois House Speaker Chris Welch says there are no plans to hold a special session for the Illinois legislature to discuss bills aimed at keeping the Bears in Illinois. Governor Pritzker says while he wants to see the Bears stay, he wants to make sure it doesn't negatively impact residents. As you heard from the Bears brass, there is no timetable on a final decision. The Wall side seemingly would like a decision to come sooner than later.
Follow WGN's Stadium Club at WGNRadio.com, Spotify, Apple, and any place you find podcasts.